Church, would you agree with me that we serve an awesome God this morning? And our God is great, and He is worthy to be praised. That's the reason we've come this way this morning. Amen? I tell you what, won't you stand with me this morning? Let's start out with a time of worship. We're going to sing that chorus a couple of times here. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Sing it again with me, church. How great is our God? Sing with me. Sing it with me one more time now. Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for the opportunity we have to be able to be in your house this morning. Lord, you're an awesome God. You're a loving God. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your love that you have, Lord, just expressed to us this week and given us this wonderful opportunity we have this morning to be able to come back to your house. Thank you for your people that are here today. Thank you most of all, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that you have shared with us in this place already this day. Lord, I know that there are many prayer requests that would be spoken this morning. Some are going through some very difficult times. But God, you are able to touch in these times. And you're able, Lord, to give us that peace that passes all understanding. And for that this morning, Lord, we want to thank you. Lord, we pray that you just be with our pastor this morning. You've given him the word today that he might share with us. And Lord, may we take it into our hearts, into our minds. And Lord, may it give us that we need here in this place. Lord, we thank you this morning again for your love. Thank you, Lord, for sending your son. Lord, thank you for salvation that is full and free. Lord, I'm so glad to know that I am part of the family of God this morning. And Lord, we want to sing one more time, how great is our God. We love you, praise you, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great. So I'll just sing it again, church. Sing it, choir. One more time this morning in the house. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all church, you can be seated. Pray for the choir as we sing this morning. darkest hour, He's been faithful and true.
Testimony, Miss Amanda. God's been good, hasn't He? Everybody do this. Look what God did for you. Able to rise and breathe and come to His house. What a blessing it is for the Lord to cause our hearts to keep on beating one more day. If you think about it, it can really be a scary thing, but then if you trust the Lord with it, it's not scary. But our hearts, all it takes is for them hearts to stop. But the Lord keeps our hearts pumping, and what a blessing that is. We trust in Him to take care of us, and He has, and He is, and He will. So glad to see everybody this morning. We've got a packed house, don't we? And all of those on Facebook, you should have came. You should have came. But anyway, it's so good to be here this morning. And now we have the Children's Home Course. They're out traveling this morning. Let's remember them and Brother Brian. Also those who might be on vacation, those who are away. I'm glad you're here this morning. And we're focusing on you and the message God has for you. Do want to thank those for watching on Facebook. And all those who have come this way, thank you for our visitors for being here. You are our honored guest, and thank you for coming our way this morning. I do want to mention a few things before we pray and bring you up to speed on a couple prayer requests. Miss Amber Sofa had her baby this past Thursday at 10:11 p.m. Madeline Marie Kessler, 8 pounds, 2.4 ounces, and 20 and a half inches long. And let's give Miss Amber a round of applause. I mean, listen, just two Sundays ago, it almost happened in the pew. And so, hey, what a blessing that it happened in a safe place with doctors around. And so, Miss Amber, if you're watching, family, we love you guys. So glad that you're home. And praying for little Madeline. So praise the Lord for that. Miss Dolores Palmer, she had her surgery on Thursday as well. I got a call coming in this morning from Brother Leonard, and they're still at the hospital. And so, but everything is looking good. The incision, the healing, everything's going great. They just wanted to keep her a few days. And so let's pray. Brother Leonard, he said, Brother, would you just pray that we get to come home? Those of you who've stayed in hospitals multiple days, even one day, know how uncomfortable it is. I mean, it's a hospital, and they're ready to come home. But she's doing good, and they say thank you for your prayers. Miss Dawn's with us this morning, Capistrano. Let's remember her upcoming surgery in August. And so we'll be praying for you. Miss Connie Norton at home, continuing to get better with heart issues. Praying for Miss Connie, Miss Claudia Darby. Let's continue to remember her in our prayers. Miss Claudia, did you give me an appointment date this morning?
Yes, this coming Friday.
This Friday.
CTA scan
for Miss Claudia. Remember that, and that'll be That would be good if you remember that. All right. Well, at this time, we'd just like to wish a very special person a very happy birthday. And not this Sunday, but next Sunday is Christy Hale's birthday. And so I told Christy, I said, I got a surprise for you this morning. You're no different than anybody else. You are different than, you're my wife, but you are different than everybody else. You know. Hey, listen, you know, we even pick on each other from the pulpit. What can I say? I like what somebody said to Johnny Cash one time. They said, Brother John, or Johnny, do you and your wife ever fight at home? He said, no, sir, we never fight at home. We have never had one fight in our house. We just go out in the yard and fight. And so, anyway, she knows what I meant. But happy birthday. We love you so very much. And her official birthday will be on next Sunday. And we'll be traveling home from Florida, leaving tomorrow on vacation. And so we're going to have a on-the-road birthday for Christy on the way back. And but saying that, we will be gone tomorrow through Sunday. Brother Snyder will be here next Sunday morning and Sunday evening, and so remember that on your calendar and your schedule. And I do want to give you a couple dates, actually three dates of upcoming events. On August the 20th in the morning service, we're going to have a baptism service, and then on September the 10th, of course, is our annual Calvary Baptist Church CBC homecoming. And so remember that. Brother Snyder will be preaching that for us as well. And also, we have a choir appointment that we're going to fulfill. And I'm personally excited about this. We've been here, as you know, 5 years this month. And this is our first choir appointment under my leadership that we're going on. And I'm very excited about this. The choir's excited about it. And I think it'll be wonderful for us to just get out of the house a little bit and go visit and try to be a blessing somewhere else. This will be it on the 11th, again, September 11th, over at Victory Baptist Church in Austell. Larry Rich was pastor there for so many years. Brother Tom Hayes will be doing the preaching there. And so remember that. I'll confirm the time, but most likely it will be at 7 o'clock on that Monday. All right. You glad you come this morning? Say amen. All right, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And I know he has something he wants to tell us today. Father, we love you. We thank you today for all things. God, I just pray that you would use the music, Lord, that's been practiced and prayed over to be a blessing to your people. And Lord, we thank you for those who you've touched to get through surgery. We thank you, Lord, for a safe delivery for Madeline and Mother Amber. And we just thank you, Lord, for doing those things. We pray for Miss Claudia, Miss Don Capistrano, God, and all these other requests where people, your people need your touch, need a helping hand to help them in their physical situations. We pray for the children's home. Is there a way this morning? Brother Brian, I'm sure, is preaching. Touch him. And Father, touch us. Let us be different by the time this church service is over than how we came today. We love you today. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Church, if you'll stand with me. Choir, if you'll stand. Turn over to page number 120, and let's sing a couple of verses of Victory in Jesus. All right, everyone sing now. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he lived his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins, won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. is so good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. If you're visiting with us, you're our special guest, and we thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship. Thank you, Facebook family, for joining in with us as well. And please remember all the prayer requests that have been given. Just one announcement as far as the choir is concerned. No choir practice this evening. Okay, we'll give you the evening off. No choir practice this evening. We'll see you back downstairs today at 5 o'clock. All right, so please remember that. We look forward to a great time this evening in fellowship. And so please remember that. 5 o'clock this evening downstairs, no choir practice. But again, it's great to see you in the house of the Lord. Let's go to him one more time in a word of prayer this morning. I ask God's blessing on the service, on the offering as well. Brother David Henderson, would you take us a little word of prayer?
Dear Lord, we thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you for watching over us. For our pastor. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry you'll bring to us today. We stand in your death. Lord, we thank you for serving you. Lord, for your grace. Lord, for taking it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for speaking and asking for it. Amen. Amen.
been good so far being here this morning.
Amen.
And I do want to mention that someone has a birthday today. They're not here, but just in case they're watching, happy birthday, Miss Kristen Bennett. And we appreciate Miss Kristen, love Miss Kristen, and she's going to be getting baptized on the 20th next month, along with Hassan and Ashton and Gracie. And so we're going to have us a time on the 20th. And but anyway, happy birthday to you, Miss Kristen, and also Miss Miss Dawn had a birthday this past week, right? Happy birthday, belated birthday to you in person, and Miss Dawn Daly. And all right. If you have your Bibles this morning, please make your way to Judges, the Old Testament book of Judges, chapter number 6. Judges, chapter number 6. While you're turning there, please remember Brother Harold. He made it here, but he had to go home, and I believe his daughter was coming to pick him up and not feeling well. But what determination Brother Harold has, and many others who come and physically not feeling well, but yet still come. I wish a whole lot of other people would have that kind of determination who are well. So thank you for coming, even when you don't feel like it. Judges chapter number 6. I want to read verse number 11 down through verse 14. And very familiar story, not my first time preaching it, and I know it's not going to be my last. We're not going to get into the whole entire story. We're not going to do an overview of the story, but I do want to look at this story, the story of Gideon, in just a little different way than I have looked at it and preached it before. So with that said, let's begin reading out of Judges chapter 6, verse 11 down to verse number 14. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? We're going to stop reading there. That's reading Judges 6, verse number 11, down to verse number 14. I said a moment ago, and I'll say it again, that I do want to preach this familiar story just with a little different approach this morning, something a little different than I have normally preached it. I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments on this subject. God pushes to victory. God pushes to victory. God this morning wants to help us be victorious. The Lord Jesus Christ, He wants us to be victorious. He wants us to accomplish. Jesus wants us to experience His peace and His rest. He wants us to be children who are filled with joy. I'm not talking about combusting with happiness 24/7. That's not possible. But just that deep-seated contentment that carries you through no matter if life is great or life is bad, because of the joy of the Lord, you are content come what may. And so the Lord wants to get us there, the people of God, to a place of contentment and rest. And so when I look at the story of Gideon, I see a man who is living in fear. I see a man who is burdened down by the current situation in his community. We know that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And because of that, God turned them over to the enemy, the Midianites, in this story here, this account, for 7 years. And the Midianites would come in and they would steal all of their resources. The Midianites, the enemy, came in and besieged the land, took it from them, and really made servants out of them. Because that's what the enemy does. He takes and he makes you and I serve him if we give ourselves to him. And so there's this man, Gideon, and we know that God chooses him and uses him and ultimately defeats the enemy. And Gideon was a judge, a man that God used in a very, very tremendous way. But it's the starting stages of this story that I want to look at. It's the beginning of the story that I want to call your attention to. How that God pushed this fearful man. God pushed this man who was burdened down with the cares of his community, pushed him to excellence. And God wants to do the same thing in our lives. He wants to push us along. He wants to push us through trials and through adversity. He wants us to trust him during those times. And so as he does that in your life and mine, we grow and we mature and we achieve that which the Lord wants us to achieve. Four things this morning, and then we'll be through. In verse number 11, I want you to notice Gideon observed. Gideon observed. In verse number 11, the Bible says, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak," which was in Ophrah, "that pertained unto Joash the Abazarite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." And so we see here a picture of this angel of the Lord observing Gideon. Now, he came and he sat at the general location of where Gideon was. The Bible says that Gideon was, he was threshing wheat by the wine press. Didn't have time to thresh it on the threshing floor. Couldn't be in open areas so that the enemy could see him. And so he was tucked away by the wine press threshing wheat. And the whole time that Gideon was there by this wine press threshing wheat, the Lord had an eye on him. The Lord sat under this, the Bible says, this oak, which was in Ophrah. And I believe the Lord was observing him. And I say the Lord, the Bible says an angel of the Lord. I believe this angel was actually Christ. This is what you call a Christophany. This is an Old Testament Christophany, a pre-appearance of Jesus Christ. And so that's who this was this morning. This angel of the Lord came right where Gideon was in the general location at this oak, and he sat, and I believe with all my heart, he observed Gideon in the condition of his heart and what he was going through. He was threshing wheat. He was trying to get supply. He was trying to have food for his family. The enemy had stolen everything. And so he was taking care of business the best he could. All the while when he was doing that, threshing this wheat, I believe at the same time he was thinking about his land. He was burdened down with that care. Oh, our people, we are taken captive by the enemy. How are we going to continue on? And how are we going to continue doing what we do, living here and raising families? I believe this point in time, Gideon was a burdened down man. He was a man of fear and he was hiding. And all the while, this angel of the Lord was watching him. I believe you catch my drift this morning. You know and I know that Jesus is watching us. He has his all-seeing eye upon us. He's with us. And times are good. He knows what we're going through. But I like this. When times are bad, he is very much aware of what we're going through. So we can glean the blessing this morning. And the truth of the story is that Gideon was being watched by the Lord. And again, what a blessing it is this morning to be watched by God. Be watched by God when times are bad and we're struggling and we're not ourselves. And being watched by God and having his supervision over us during our times of struggle and difficulty. He can come in at any moment and he can help us and intervene in our lives. It's just a wonderful blessing this morning to have the supervision 24/7, 365 of Almighty God. We see that in other stories. The New Testament, we know the disciples were at sea, and we won't rehash the whole story, but we know the storm came, and we know that Jesus was in the mountains and he was praying. Don't you know he knew where his disciples were at in the midst of the storm? He's the one that told them to cross over to the other side. And he went and prayed. Then when they needed him the most, in their darkest of hours, when the waves were crashing and the wind was blowing, came Jesus right on time. And no matter where you're at this morning, you may be at a low place. You may be at a hurting place. It seems like I preach this every Sunday, but that's just where people are. People are hurting and people are in low places. And if that's you this morning, Jesus cares. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus cares. And so we see this morning, Gideon observed. He observed Gideon while he was threshing wheat by the wine press. And another blessing kind of goes along with what I'm saying, that Gideon took no notice of him. He had no idea he was being watched. And I think about the times where I struggle the most. I know God's with me. I know he helps me and he guides me. But the times where I struggle the most and I'm fretting and I'm worrying and I have anxiety issues and all of these things, it is a blessing to know that his eye is on me. Sometimes you don't feel like God is near. Let's just be honest. I mean, do you wake up in the morning and see Jesus sitting in your living room? No. Do you sense that he's sitting in your living room? Maybe some mornings, some days not. And praise the Lord for the mornings that in the days that we encounter, we sense the presence of Jesus. That's what we want and that's what we need. But it's equally a blessing this morning is when we're down and we're struggling and we're bewildered and we become desensitized to our own situation, just to know that he is there and his eye is on us. Thank God for that. I thank God for that in my life. That he's there whether I'm happy or sad. He's there. So Gideon observed. Number two this morning, notice in verse number 12, Gideon encouraged. Talking about God pushes the victory. Verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. How about that? These words of encouragement were meant to be words of encouragement to him. First of all, he says, the Lord is with you. And so he encourages him by telling him that the Lord is with you. I'm the Lord. I'm in your presence. The Lord is with you. The Lord has been with you. The Lord will, future tense, be with you. And so we see how that could bring encouragement. Of course, verse number 13, Gideon says, said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. I do want to say, I do not believe Gideon still realizes who he's talking to. Because if he did, he wouldn't have said what he said. But I want you to notice something very significant in verse number 14. The Bible says, and the Lord looked upon him. Before it was referenced to the angel of the Lord, which was the Lord. But here, after Gideon doubting who he was even talking to, the Bible says, and the Lord looked upon him. I believe it was eyes that Gideon realized who he was talking to. The book of Revelation talks about the eyes of the Lord, especially in the churches of Asia Minor, those seven churches. And he talks about in some of the churches that the eyes being like fire, looking into these churches. In another place in the Old Testament, the Bible talks about the eyes of the Lord are beholding everything upon earth. His eyes are beholding us. He's fully aware of what's going on in our world. And so with these eyes, he looks upon Gideon, and I believe Gideon realizes who it is he's talking to. But back in verse number 12, the Lord says, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you, Gideon. But then, notice, he says, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. This one I particularly love the most. He calls him a mighty man of valor. Now, God was viewing Gideon as a mighty man. Now, some people say that this is reference to his stature, his muscles. I don't know. I tend to believe that, and what most commentators actually say is that the Lord was trying to encourage Gideon to rely upon the strength of the Lord. And so the Lord said, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. Gideon didn't view himself that way. Gideon was in a wine press threshing wheat, burdened in his mind and burdened in his heart. He didn't view himself as a mighty man, but God did. You this morning may not view yourself as a mighty Christian. You may say, Brother Justin, I fail too often. I don't have a consistent prayer life. I barely read my Bible. But yeah, listen, God views you as a mighty believer. He sees the potential in you. And thank the Lord this morning, the times where I've doubted myself, in the times where I would give up on myself and say, what's the use? But yet there was the Lord strengthening my own heart. And it was the Lord seeing something in me that I don't see in me. And so I think this morning that you need to take a little bit of encouragement to your heart and to know that God views you differently than how you view you. God sees potential in His children. Any good parent would say that. My child has potential. They may not be exhibiting their or living up to their fullest potential, but any good godly parent will say that my child has potential. Let my child take a run at it. Let my child try. Jesus this morning sees potential in all of us. He is in the business of pushing us to victory. Don't believe the lies of the devil that you can't do anything right, that you can't achieve, or that you can't move forward and mature like you want to in your Christian life. You can. Just believe the Lord that you can. So he says, thou mighty man of valor. And so we have Gideon encouraged. And so God saw these things in Gideon. God told Gideon he's with him. And what a blessing that is. Number three this morning, when it comes to God pushes to victory, we see Gideon called. Gideon called. Verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Gideon's called here. Gideon is commissioned here. He's called and commissioned when he is at his most vulnerable. And some people say, oh, whenever I know that I can do something for God, then I'll do it. God is in the business of calling you right where you're at. When you don't feel like you can do it, He will call you to an area of service. He will ask you to do some task. God calls and then God provides. He never calls the qualified. If you're waiting to be qualified before you serve God, then you might be waiting forever. Because none of us, I mean, listen, we all fall short of the glory of God. And so the Lord called him to service, called him to be a judge when he was at his weakest. So we see his call. He told him he's going to save Israel. Save Israel. What a huge call from someone who's in hiding mode. Gideon, you're going to save Israel. Gideon, I'm trying to push you to the next step in your life. I want to use you for greatness. You may not believe it, but I'm going to do great things in your life if you just let me. And so he said he's going to save Israel. God has a calling for our lives. He has sometimes more than one calling in our lives. God is calling. And it's not just for areas of ministry. God is calling Christians to run their Christian flag up, be held accounted for, and raise the standard on the job, at school, and all these other areas. God is always calling. He's pushing. He's calling. But then he says in verse number 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. What is he talking about? Go in this. This is how, Gideon, I want you to go forward in this calling. Go in this thy might. Not his own natural might. As some might think, he was a mighty man of valor. Being of size and strength, he may have. But in the context and the flow of these verses, he's talking about going in the might of the Lord. Go in this might, the might that you received with meeting with me, the Lord. Go, Gideon, in this might of knowing you'll win. Think about it. God said, you're going to win. He said, you will save Israel. Thou shalt save Israel. Now go. Well, why wouldn't he go? He wouldn't go because he will be wrestling with doubt. Well, Gideon, I told you, you're going to win. Go. And God has spoken to some of you recent days, maybe just this morning, I don't know, wanting you to do things. He's saying, you can do it. Go. Go and be that person you aspire to be. Go and be that Christian you aspire to be. Go and be the husband, the wife, the parent, the teacher, the grandparent. Go and do it. What's holding you back? Gideon might say, well, failure. Failure. You've fallen so much already, but you've been forgiven for it. And so any move you make is a move of grace. A lot of people say, I'm not going to serve the Lord. I'm just a failure. Oh, you don't want me down there. Hey, join the rest of us. We're all a bunch of failures. And I say that biblically because we all have fallen short of the glory of God. We're not perfect people at Calvary. We're forgiven people at Calvary. And if God lays something on my heart to do, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to be in fear of failure because I'm already a failure. What's there to argue about? Bill Stafford said one time, he's in heaven now. He used to preach revivals. He'd go to Floyd Road and preach many times. Bill Stafford said he'd get into it with his wife from time to time, and she'll say, "You're just a failure." He said, "I agree. What's next?" Of course, they said, he always said, we never went to bed angry. We'd stay up all night if we had to. Let us get over this ego, this pride. Well, I can't preach against him, or he preaches better than me, or they're just a servant, and they do everything around the church, and I'd never be nothing, and I just don't know. Serve the Lord. Get your eyes off men. Get your eyes on God. When Jesus was transfigured, those disciples, that inner circle, Peter, James, and John, after that magnificent, life-changing experience, the Bible says that they saw no man but Jesus only. We see Gideon called. Gideon? You're going to be successful. Now, you got to start believing you're going to be successful. Jesus bought in. Jesus is the one who called him, but it's time for Gideon to buy in. And for some of you this morning, you have got to buy in to the promises of God. You've got to believe that you can. You've got to believe that there is a better way. You've got to believe there is peace. You've got to believe there is joy. You have got to believe there is contentment. Buy in. Gideon called, thou shalt save Israel. Gideon called, go in this thy might. Not the might of your own strength, but the might of from meeting with the Lord, and the might from knowing you will win, and the might from knowing you're called. Look at that last phrase in verse 14. Have not I sent thee? What more do you need to do something from the Lord than to know that God sent you? That phrase, have not I sent thee, have sent many missionaries into the darkest of jungles, not fearing anything. Have not I sent thee has caused many of preachers to become pastors and move across the U.S. to pastor churches. I got a friend, I haven't talked to him in a long time, but he went to pastor his first church up in Elbow Lake, Minnesota, Silas Clark. And it's been a long time since we talked, but Silas Clark, he went up there, and he is still there and doing great. He has to deal with 6 feet of snow, you know, all the time, but most of the time. But he went because of that phrase, have not I sent thee? What more do you need than to know that God has sent you? And so find out what God wants from you and then do it and settle it in the fact that God has called you to do it. He says, this will be your mind. This will be your might. Think about those missionaries over there. I'm just using missionaries. It could be anybody with any kind of job or task. But I know if I was in the jungle over there, dodging spears being thrown at me. In some cases, that's the true story. What is more comforting to know than to know that in spite of all of this, God, I know you put me here, and you will protect me. Brother Berman used to say, it would be safer for you to be on the front line in Afghanistan with a machine gun in your hand, if it's the will of God, for you to be back here in the States out of the will of God. He said that numerous amounts of times. And you know what? I buy into that. I buy into that because the safest place for you and I to be is the center of God's will. And to be quite honest with you, it's kind of scary seeing someone, or even myself, out of God's will and things are going great. That's a scary place to be. Because you're just wondering, at any time, God can draw me back. At any time, He can allow something to happen in my life to draw me in. And that's the truth this morning. I would be scared if everything is going right and I'm out of God's will compared to being in God's will and fighting for my life daily. You got to buy in. And so we see Gideon's call here, and he went in this might that God said you'll win and that you're called. And also, he was strengthened from this conversation with the Lord. Let me mention one more thing. Not only Gideon called, Gideon observed, Gideon encouraged, talking about God pushes to victory, but lastly, we do see Gideon tested. Now, if you haven't heard anything, hear this. Look in verse 25. Before we read this verse, the Lord prepared, and listen to this, the Lord prepared Gideon for the big battle with the little battle. Listen to this. Verse 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place. Take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. The Lord prepared Gideon for the big battle, and that was defeating the Midianites and having the land at rest. He was preparing him for the big battle with a little battle. What's that little battle? He wanted Gideon to go and tear down the false idol of Baal, that altar, and the groves by it at his father's place. It was a test. And because of this test, it would further prepare Gideon for the bigger test or for the bigger calling. And I want you to see that Gideon fulfilled this, but he was still fearful. Look in verse 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. So he did it. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. How about that? God said, I want you to do it. Gideon said, I'll do it, but it's going to be on my terms. And how many times do we find ourselves in situations and we know God ultimately is trying to do something within us so he could do something through us, but we still fear at times and we still doubt. And it's like, okay, God, we will continue on, but there's some terms we have. Don't let it be too hot. Don't let it be too heavy. Don't let it get too nasty. Gideon did it, but he feared to do it during the day. He did it at night. And so Gideon's tested. The Lord prepares us for big battles with little battles. Whatever it is you're going through today, whatever challenges you may have, God is preparing you for something bigger. So we see in verse 25 that Gideon was tested. Now look at verse 26. We see that Gideon was to erect an altar unto God. Verse 26, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock. And so he was called here to this first test. He was called to destroy false altars and erect godly altars. He was to do away, in one sense, do away with sin and live for Jesus. Someone said one time, well, I quit doing this drug, or I quit gambling, whatever it is. I was an obsessive shopper and I quit shopping, whatever the situation may be. I quit doing that. Well, let me ask you, what did you do in replace of that? Because when it comes to addictions and struggles, many times people will trade addictions. Well, I've got victory over this. What are you addicted to now? Trading addictions. I was in Kroger one day. It was about 10 years ago. It wasn't no time soon. It was about 10 years ago. I seen a little book over there in the card aisle. And it said trading addictions. And I just stopped and read like the first chapter of it right there in Kroger, because it was very interesting. And so, Brother Justin, what am I supposed to do with addictions? Or what am I supposed to do with trying to position myself to be better in life for the Lord's usury? What am I supposed to do? You're supposed to do away with sin and replace it with Jesus. You are to tear down those false altars and erect godly altars in place of it. You've got to be proactive, or you're going to end up in some other kind of struggle. And so Gideon, God wanted Gideon to tear down those altars and build godly altars. And as we get ready to bring it to a close, again, verse number 27, it talked about how Gideon did that, but he feared. He did take down the altars. He did cut down the grove, but he feared. And I want to leave you with this on this last point, Gideon tested. Although he feared, he was progressing. He was progressing. If they want to come with a song, we'll try to conclude this. Gideon was progressing. And you know, I feel like based upon my own Christian experience and what I read in the Bible, God is good with progression towards Him. God is good with that. If you disagree, we'll talk later. But how would you disagree? Lily's getting older and she's getting ready to go to 10th grade. And she of course, went through 9th grade. And I know it's going to get tough. And I'm not one of the, me and Christy, neither one of us are parents who get upset with their children if they don't make straight A's. Kidding me? Getting upset with your children because they don't make straight A's? Well, every household is different. Whatever. My household is a compassionate household. She will have times of struggle, but as long as she's progressing, that satisfies her mother and me. As long as she's progressing. And how could I have a Heavenly Father who's upset with me because I stumble at times, because I worry, because I have anxiety? Why would my Heavenly Father look down on me and be upset with me over those things if I'm progressing? He's not upset with me anyway, whether I progress or not. He loves me. He loves you unconditionally. But to know that some days I win some, Some days I lose some. But my Heavenly Father knows that I'm progressing. And so my pitch to you, if I could say it that way, would be, let's just be people of progression. Let's progress. You can eat a whole elephant one bite at a time. It's little by little, day by day. God is pushing you to a place where He can use you and where He can use me. Thank God He uses us all along the way as well. God pushes to victory. Gideon observed, Gideon encouraged, Gideon called, Gideon tested. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You for all things, Lord. I don't know who the message is to. I know it's for all of us. So I pray that You'll use it how You seem fit this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand through the building. And if you need to come pray, I urge you to come on the first verse. Nobody is watching. We're all here for the same reason.
Have Thine own
Feel free to come if you need to come. We'll pray for you. Anyone else? Continuing to sing this morning.
Have Thine own way. Have Thine own way.
Don't bear your burden alone.
Search me and try me, Master.
Invitation still given while these are praying. If you need to come, please come. Don't put it off. Don't put it off until you're better, because you'll never come at all. So as we play softly, sing whatever y'all want to do, just give another minute or two.
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way.
Still being conscious of these praying, but that will conclude the service this morning. Thank you so very much for coming, and hope you received something from the message. I hope you enjoyed the singing, and again, we'll be meeting back at 5:00 downstairs to have our service down there. Of course, we'll have refreshments as we always do, and be a short devotion tonight, but we will have something. And so meet us back then. No choir practice, as Brother Allen already said. Grab a church bulletin and stay up to tune, up to date with what's going on. We have an appointment on the calendar to go sing. That's very exciting. And just remember the other things. All right, anything else to mention before we close? All right, well, looks like everybody's good to go then. Brother Seelong, would you close us out in a word of prayer?